Claire Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you're very well. I've come back from a really busy couple of days up in Leeds running a really lovely workshop, actually, for working creative parents struggling to balance the work and the creativity, the creative business that they operate in, helping them with that. And it's really been fascinating for me as well, because, of course, my business requires me traveling away from home and often working on my own in my own office. And it was great to spend some time with people thinking about how you get that balance right and how you overcome some of the limitations that are presented to you when you're a working parent. So really, really fantastic. And later on this week, I'm heading up to Brighton for the Meaning Conference. I'm speaking on a panel looking at the future of leadership and the kind of leaders we need now. And I'll tell you more about that in future episodes. And in fact, I will refer to it again in this one. But today I want to focus on focus, and specifically what to focus on. Now, I'm pretty confident that most of what we spend our time on at work and outside is not important. It is not important. I know it feels important, but it's not. It's not making a difference. It is keeping the wheels of the machine grinding. It is often making up for deficiencies in the system. I mean, it seems to me that a lot of jobs in business actually exist because the system itself doesn't really work terribly well. And these jobs exist to kind of make up for the inadequacies of the system. But that's all they are. A lot of what you're doing is satisfying other people's to-do lists. And of course, their to-do lists aren't making a difference either. The reality is that a lot of what we spend our time on isn't making life better for customers or for the wider community, for employees. Whatever the purpose of the business is not being delivered by what you're spending most of your time on. Yet that is why the company exists. So it seems ironic to me that we're incredibly busy and yet we're not really able to make an impact on why the business is really there. What percentage is it that's actually making a difference? 90% of how you're spending your time? 50%? 20% actually making a difference? I think it's pretty low. I think the amount of time we spend doing stuff that makes a real difference, directly or indirectly, in terms of the purpose of the business, is really low. And I don't think that that's sustainable. Now, as I said, I'm off to the Meaning Conference later this week in Brighton. I'll tell you more about it in coming episodes. But I'm on a panel, and we've been sent some of the questions that we're going to be asked in advance to have a little ponder about them. One of the questions we've been asked to think about in advance is this: what kind of threats to your or other businesses are the least understood, and what leadership skills are needed to counter them? Well, my answer is going to be that the threat that's least understood is the long-term self-destructive impact of business itself on our world. That is the threat that I don't think that businesses realise they are actually creating. We could talk about high-profile things like ethical scandals or the environmental damage that some businesses are doing to the planet, but I think more insipid is the way that the values of organisations, the way the values of how we work seep into our culture. So if we think about the long hours or the busyness that we're all engaged in, this real focus on profit and bottom line and margin and satisfying the stock market, a sense of lack of ownership or influence. I mean, you're spending 8, 10, 12 hours of each day at work in an environment where you feel you lack ownership or you're not able to influence. That's pretty damaging to your sense of self. Being underappreciated. The stress so many of us today suffer from stress, and a lot of that stress comes from the way that we work, the kind of selfishness that the workplace creates. Yes, you're there to support your colleagues or to support your team. And when I ask people why they go to work, what they get out of it, it very often is the other people that they work with that is the big motivator for them. That's where their sense of meaning comes from. But still, we are set up to take care of ourselves. It's what we in the UK call, I'm all right, Jack. You know, as long as you're all right, as long as you're surviving, that becomes what's important. And if you can take care of people along the way, then that's great. But ultimately, the way that we work creates a kind of culture of selfishness, a competition between each other and between businesses. And that seeps into our culture. We're a really competitive culture. What matters is coming first, being at the top, not failing, not coming last, not getting it wrong, not making mistakes. We're set up to compete and to compete with each other. The politics in business is really damaging. And actually, the better you are at politics, the worse I think it is for you in terms of your sense of well-being. The disconnect between business and the rest of the world. This idea that we rock up at work and don't think very much about the impact that the organisation is making on society by its very existence, by the culture that it creates that seeps out into the world. A lack of a sense of purpose, of value that many people feel that is reinforced by how they're treated at work or how they feel about their work. The impact of work on family life. You know, the fact that you can't just pop home at lunchtime, that you can't always take the kids to school or collect them afterwards, that when you're having an issue at home, a family crisis, it's difficult for you to negotiate the time off to deal with it. Sick relatives, sick aging parents, your kid is ill, your kid needs you today. You need a little bit of time to just hang out and just reflect or sleep or watch TV. The lack of contribution to community, the fact that business is seen by and large as something separate. And increasingly, of course, companies have got social responsibility policies and they do put something back into the world, but it's often something separate. It's an initiative on top of what the organisation does. It isn't baked in. To me, these are the things that impact not just how we are at work, but the whole culture in which we live. And one thing supports the other. So we learn to compete at school and then we bring that competitive attitude into the workplace. We compete in the workplace and then we teach our children that it's important to compete. One thing feeds the other. And I think that there is a law of diminishing returns on that kind of culture. This stuff, the long hours, the busyness, the selfishness, the competitiveness, the politics, the disconnect between business and the rest of the world will actually end up destroying many businesses that exist today. They simply can't keep cranking the handle. If there are other options and people have the option to work in a different kind of environment or adopt different kinds of values that are more sustainable, and that give them more of a sense of purpose, they will take those other options. And it's uncompetitive anyway. You're not getting the best from people when people are busy doing all of this kind of stuff. Some companies are finding a way to limit this busy, handle-cranking work and free people up to solve problems that matter. Those are the companies that are going to survive and thrive in future. So when I say that 90% of how we spend our time at work isn't important, it's that stuff that I'm talking about. If we could get back to basics, business as a force for good in the world, people spending their time on activity that enhances the world and enhances their own world, their own life, not just keeps the self-destructive machine running, this would be much better for us all. The second part of the question that I'm going to be asked at the Meaning Conference is what are the skills that leaders need to develop in order to address that threat? And I think that there are two. The first is trust. Now, I've talked in previous podcasts about trust And I will come back to it again and again. I think it's the fundamental missing piece in business and in our world today. And I think this sense of mistrust in authority, a sense of mistrust in the establishment, is creating huge waves of discontent in our world. And we can see that in terms of the results of the election in the United States, Brexit, and some of the political goings on in places like France and Germany right now. So trust is really at the heart of this revolution that I'm talking about. And there are three parts of developing trust that are most important. The first is know what you stand for and then stand for it. Now, most people will say, well, I do know what I stand for and I do stand for it. But most of us have been in meetings where we've not liked the way that the conversation is going. We've not liked the decision that seems inevitable. And we're about to say something about it when a voice inside our head says, no, don't. Don't disrupt everything at this point. If you were going to say something, you should have said it earlier. People aren't going to thank you for throwing a spanner in the works at this point. Everyone else seems fine with it, so who are you to disagree? Or my favourite reason for not saying, no, I've got a different perspective, is, well, I'll save that for something more important. Now, that might have been okay in the past when levels of trust were pretty stable. And people kind of trusted you because you were senior to them and that's how the world works. But today, your people do not trust you, by and large, because of the authority position that you have in the organization. And every time you compromise on your values, on what you said was important to you, they feel that you have just proven them right, that you cannot be trusted. Now, I'm not saying that you have to make a big issue about everything. I'm not saying you have to win every argument. In the end, having put something on the table and having had it debated, you may not win the day. But if you're not even willing to put it on the table, then don't be surprised if people don't trust that you are someone who knows what you stand for and then is willing to stand for it. And if they don't trust you, they're not going to go with you anywhere. And you can't really, therefore, call yourself a leader. The second aspect of trust is what I call intimacy. Intimacy is that magical thing that happens between people when they feel that they can open up and really talk about what matters to them, what's going on for them. And intimacy is not a one-way relationship. It can only occur when both sides are willing to be intimate, and that means you as well. So intimacy begins when you are willing to reveal something of yourself, when you're willing to remove the mask and show who you are underneath, all the little funny edges and quirks of your personality, the vulnerabilities and the strengths. And the third aspect of building trust is shifting your beliefs about people, actually trusting them. And I think this is the most difficult aspect of trust. You know, it's relatively easy to think, okay, how can I be more trustworthy? But genuinely trusting your people, genuinely shifting your belief, a belief that is baked into business that says that people can't be trusted. That's why we have all the policies. That's why we have all the paperwork, all the procedures. That's why we have managers in the first place to make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's why we have the hierarchy, because without it, people won't do what they're supposed to do. Shifting that belief is one of the most difficult but fundamental parts of creating a more trusting environment. So developing a trusting environment and knowing how to do that is one of the skills. But the second skill that I think is really important is focusing on what matters. If I'm saying that 90% of how we spend our time at work isn't important, it raises the obvious question, well, what should I be focusing on then instead? And I've developed a tool that can help you. And it's based on something called the Wheel of Life. Now, you might have done the Wheel of Life before. It's very simple. It's a circle divided into 8 segments. And you label each of the 8 segments, and these are the labels: financial well-being, personal well-being and health, family and friends, relationship, physical environment, work, personal development, and fun/recreation. So those are the eight classic elements of the Wheel of Life. And the way that you do the Wheel of Life, if you want to do this, is that you imagine that the centre of the circle is a zero and the outside of the circle is a 10. And each of the spokes is divided into 10 little sections. And then you give yourself a score in each of the categories for where you are in that category in your life. So let's say in the financial section, you might say, yeah, you know, I feel pretty confident financially. I get paid a decent amount of money. I'm not wasting my money. I don't have a huge amount of debt. I'm investing in the future. I'm taking care of my pension. There's a couple of things probably that we could do differently to really enhance the financial well-being, but I'm going to give myself an 8. And you make a little cross in the kind of where 8 would be on that spoke. And you do the same thing for the other categories. So maybe fun and recreation, you're not getting a lot of that. You're working very hard to raise money for your future. And so you spend most of the evenings just vegging out in front of the TV. And that's not really how you would consider a high score. So you give yourself a 3. And then you join the little crosses together that you've made, and you end up with a kind of really wibbly wobbly shape, like a really badly designed wheel. And then you use that to look at which areas of your life you want to work on further. Now, I've used the Wheel of Life many times in the past, and it's a perfectly good tool, very popular tool. But there's something about it that I find a little too prescribed. It's telling me that these are the 8 areas that matter. And they might not be the 8 areas that matter to me. I might not like the language of the way that those 8 areas are described. And if you'll notice, only one of the areas relates to work. And work might break down into more than one category if it was left to you. Work doesn't necessarily have to be bundled up together, the same as personal well-being and health don't necessarily have to be bundled up together. I find it quite strange that friends and family are bundled up together, because the score you give for your relationships with your family might be kind of different to the score you give for your relationships with friends. So what I did quite recently is I created my own. I drew a circle and then I thought, what are the maximum of 5 areas of life that matter to me right now? And I decided those 5 areas were presence and flow, service, personal health, financial health, and what I called the adventure. And then I divided the circle up into segments, but the segments aren't in equal-sized slices. So presence and flow and service take up slightly more than half of the circle. And personal health, the adventure, and financial health take up the other half. If you want to see an image, you can go to my Instagram account at Blair Lees Palmer and you can have a little look at the picture. Let me explain a bit about these category titles and what they mean to me, because you're going to develop your own, and I think that understanding the thinking behind how I came up with these titles might be useful. So when I came up with presence and flow, this is really important to me right now. And to me, it's about being here now in the moment. That's what presence is. Really living my life right now and being in the flow rather than forcing life to happen. That's something that I'm working on personally. That's a big part of my own personal self-development, and it covers a lot of my life that I would like to apply presence and flow to. So that's why it's a really big section. The next section that was important to me was service. And I decided to call this section service rather than work because I wanted to give a different flavor to it. Not all the work I do is paid days of working with actual teams or giving speeches. A lot of the work that I do is in service of my clients, former clients, future clients, and people who are never going to be clients. And therefore, to call it work seemed to put something slightly negative or serious onto it. In actual fact, it feels much more purposeful than just my job. Personal health is in there. It's a small section. I don't do a lot of formal exercise, but I do try to move about and keep active and eat right. And I wanted to give some attention to that. Financial health is relatively obvious. I wanted to give a little bit more focus to that as well. I want to make sure that I am saving for the future, that I'm not wasting money on things that don't make our lives better. And I wanted to put some attention into that at this point in my life. And then the final section was the adventure. I normally have some kind of adventure going on. Last year it was letting my hair dye grow out and going from a brunette to a silver sister, as I am today. So that was a year of adventure and a year of bad hair days. But the new adventure, as most of you know, is embarking on having an allotment initially and then a small holding further down the line. And I need to give some attention to that in my life right now. And it's always fun for me to have something that I'm working on that is for the future. So I've got the presence and flow, which is the now, and I've got the adventure, which is something I'm working on for the future. Now, you can entitle your sections anything you like. You don't have to have five. You could have three. You could have two. It doesn't really matter. I wouldn't have more than five because I think it's very easy to put too much pressure on yourself. These are your key areas of focus. This is not everything you have to do. There are things that are not in this model. I haven't put primary relationship in this model because that's not a high priority for me and something to work on. I haven't got a separate section for friends and family. In fact, they go very much into the presence and flow section, as I'll explain in a minute. So don't try to cover everything. Just think about what's important to you at this point in your life, what matters. And then the next thing I did is I broke each one of those five categories into activities. So for instance, in the service section, I thought about, well, what are the activities that I get up to that are in service of my community? Now, the podcast and building the community around the podcast is in there. The book that I'm writing is in there. Working with clients, obviously, is in there. Helping people who are my connections and people that I partner with and being of service to them. Being authentic is in service of my community. Speaking at events and my own curiosity and my own self-growth and sharing that is in service of my community. So all of that sits within the service section. And whenever I'm spending time on any of those activities, I know that that is core to what really matters to me at the moment. Into the presence and flow section goes what I've called a no work mentality. So there's a very good reason I haven't called it work, which is that work has this kind of negative connotation for me and for a lot of other people. And so I've decided that presence and flow is about bringing a no work mentality to everything I do, including the things I do that I get paid for. My daughter is in presence and flow, really being present for her and really getting involved in activities in a kind of flow way with her. Being here now, having no fear is about being present. Most of our fear comes from anticipating something bad happening in the future. And actually, if you're here now, there's no need to be afraid. Music, I'm learning the guitar at the moment and I play the piano as well and sing. So spending time doing music and laughter are in presence and flow. Horse riding and spending time with friends all fit into that section. So I won't go into every section in detail, but let's just give you a flavour of some of the stuff that's on there. There is a photo on Instagram if you want to get a little bit more of an idea about some of the stuff I've put in. But what's really important is that you think about what you want to be in your circle of life. As you can see, by narrowing it down to the five areas that really matter to me and the activities that sit within those five areas, there's still plenty to do. It's not like I'm sitting around twiddling my thumbs. But it's helped me to see what matters and why I was doing those things and what things weren't going to be on the list. Leadership has got to be about making choices. If leadership is about seeing what is and what could be and then disrupting the status quo, that's something very different to going along with things and trying to make the best of them within the limits that have been prescribed. And as a leader, you're going to have to make these choices. You're going to have to find some ways to get rid of 20, 50, or even 90% of what you do, what keeps you busy, so you can focus on what actually matters. And in that way, business can actually start being responsible for its impact on the world in terms of the culture that we live in, as well as the environmental impact of the business or the social impact of the business. So how do I use this thing? Well, it's in my notebook. When I get a new notebook, I copy it across and I update it if necessary. And that happens every few weeks. So it's quite frequent that I get a chance to check in with it. I also look at it randomly some mornings to see if it feels like that's how I'm living my life. And I cross-reference with what's going on over the next few days and just double check. Now, you can be more systematic if you like. You can do a color coding thing where you look at everything that's in your diary, everything on your to-do list, and you color code it. And anything that doesn't fit into one of the categories, you get rid of. You can make it into a poster on the wall. You can have it as a screensaver. You could share it with a buddy, have them do the same thing, and you could check in on a regular basis. Or you could be less systematic. You could do it once and then just check in with it 3 months later. It's kind of up to you, depending on how seriously you want to take this and also what's just going to work for you, given your personality. And you can apply the same principle to your work. So if you want to do one for your life, as I have done, and then you want to break it down a little bit into a work-specific one, then you can do that. Just keep in mind the purpose. What really matters to deliver the purpose of the business or the purpose of you and your bit of the organization in the organization? It's not a to-do list in order of who's shouting loudest. It comes from inside you when you think about what actually matters. Where can we actually make an impact, or where can I actually make a difference, and what matters to me? And there will be tough decisions to make, but that's okay. Whenever you make a decision like that, especially a decision not to do something, you're disrupting the status quo and you're bringing about change. It's the definition of leadership. Next week, we have another interview, a really interesting conversation with Alexander Mayer from Saint-Gobain Performance Plastics, who's currently helping his organization on its journey to self-organization. And he's talking about the practical and also the personal journey to that place. It's absolutely fascinating whether or not you're thinking of going self-managing or self-organizing in your own business, just to understand what's going on out there in the world, and that may have an impact on your organization further down the line. And as ever, to wrap up, here is the lovely 9-year-old Ivy Palmer with some ideas about what to do next.
Leaders disrupt the status quo to bring about change, keeping the purpose of the business central to their decision making. So decide what to focus on and just do that. This applies inside and outside of your work equally. You can't just keep cranking the handle harder and harder and harder, just keep cranking it harder and harder and harder. At some point, you have to make some tough decisions. If you found this podcast useful, please let us know by commenting or reviewing us on iTunes. And please remember to share it too. Business can be a force for good if more leaders believe it can.